strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks so much for being here. Word came out early this morning that Colin Powell had passed away. Complications of COVID-19, but we also know that he was suffering from multiple myeloma, which decreases your, you know, it's an immune deficiency or creates an immune deficiency. So sad news for the country. One of the people that knew him, worked with him for quite a long time right here in the Valley, his name is Gordon James from Gordon C. James Public Relations, who had worked for George H.W. Bush when he was vice president to Reagan, so had spent a lot of times with multiple administrations and in multiple capacities where Colin Powell served. He joins us now. Gordon, first of all, thanks for taking time out of your day to do this. Your reaction when you heard the news this morning?
Well, I actually heard it last night, Lisa. Told me, came in and said, did you hear that General Powell had passed away? And it just was very sad. I didn't realize he'd been hospitalized or anything, so I was very sad to hear that.
What was it like working with him? Can you tell us a little bit about your time with him and what he was like to work with?
Well, he was terrific. He was he loved the troops and loved to be around people. I don't know if anybody remembers, but he came to Phoenix one visit and was at one of the high schools. And one of the kids, he was addressing the assembly there. And one of the kids says, can you dance the Macarena? And, of course, he said, well, certainly I can. And he did. It was great.
Well, he seemed like someone that took the jobs he had very seriously. But he didn't take himself too seriously, which is not a very it's not a very easy trait to find in people.
Well, that's for sure. May I tell you about his trip to Iraq on March 19th, 2004?
Please.
He came to Baghdad, and we had we set up the mess hall, one of the mess halls, for him to address the troops and the civilians that were gathered, and there were several hundred in the mess hall listening to him, and he gave a thank you remarks and then proceeded to shake every hand in the room. We then went, just to set the stage, the day before, two Iraqi reporters, and first of all, understand that there were no Iraqi reporters until we came in there. They didn't exist. There was no press. And these, for some reason, these two reporters breached the security at the airport, and when they were asked to leave, they wouldn't leave, and they were subsequently shot and killed. As you can imagine, tensions were very high, and breaches of security were taken very seriously, and unfortunately, they were killed. So the next day, after the assembly at the mess hall, we went to the convention center for a press conference for Secretary of State Powell, and he took to the podium, and the Iraqi press en masse stood up and walked out. And of course, we were mortified. And he said, his comment was, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is what this is all about: freedom of the press. Under Saddam Hussein, this would never have happened without severe consequences. Imprisonment or even death would have resulted." And of course, that was what it was all about. And I will never forget him for that. It just turned a very sad and unfortunate event into a very positive.
When you look back on the time you spent in those administrations, and when you look back at the work that Colin Powell was asked to do, what do you think he will and should be remembered most for?
I think he will be remembered as someone who worked his way up the ranks, a Vietnam veteran, lieutenant during the Vietnam conflict, and stayed in the military and served and worked his way up the ranks and positioned himself as a great leader, rising to the top of the Joint Chiefs and then finally as Secretary of State. And I think that's how we remember him, someone who devoted his entire life to the service of his country.
He seemed to be someone that was willing to speak his mind if he thought it was the right thing to do, and he didn't seem like he paid too much attention to the criticism. I think it's one of the things that made him a great leader was he felt like he was telling the truth, and as long as you're telling the truth, it doesn't matter what the fallout might be.
Well, of course, you know, remember his testimony at the United Nations when he proclaimed that there were there were mass destruction
the weapons
available to the Iraqis and Saddam Hussein. And then over the years, it's been not considered quite correct. And he owned up to it. He said, no, I'm not so sure that that was the case. And then also know that even though he worked for President Reagan and President H.W. Bush and for President George W. Bush, he supported President Obama and put his full support behind President Obama. He was willing to take that risk. And
I think that's interesting because he seemed like he just wanted what was best for America, and he had his political stances, which he made clear very often. And but he also was someone that seemed like he would serve the president if asked, because that's the way he could best serve his country.
That's exactly right, Mike. You're exactly right. When asked, he served, and I was not present, but I'm sure that there were many discussions between he and Condoleezza Rice and others debating issues.
Yeah.
I can only imagine, 'cause he was not one to back down from what he believed, and I'm sure he expressed his earnest opinion.
Isn't that a unique ability that only certain people have? It's so unique that you're able to speak your mind and not shy away from speaking your mind. But at the same time, at his passing, there is so much respect from both sides of the political aisle. He was able to speak his mind without alienating people.
Yep, that is a very unique unique quality for sure. I know that President Bush, H.W. Bush and W. Bush were consensus people, and they would listen to all the arguments from their senior cabinet members and whatnot, and then make a decision. But I know that they depended a lot on what General Powell told them.
Gordon, I always appreciate the time. You are such a wealth of knowledge in this town, and I really do appreciate when you're willing to share it, because you've been able to do and see so much in your career that is just a part of modern American history, and I appreciate you sharing with us again.
You're welcome, Mike, and we're going to miss General Powell and his leadership for sure.
Absolutely. Thanks, Gordon.
Thanks, Mike.
That is Gordon James, Gordon C. James Public Relations here in the Valley. I've always said Gordon's office is like a walk through modern American history with the places he's been and the things that he has done, being with George H.W. Bush when he was vice president to Reagan through his presidency, and then with George W. Bush through that presidency, through the Iraq War, the turnover of the government, all of the things that he has been a witness to and a part of. Just such a great wealth of information, and so thankful that Gordon would, first of all, is a part of this town, but would share that with so many people. And Colin Powell is going to be missed. There's no doubt that he was a statesman in America, and that's not easy to find in today's political climate. And he definitely was an opinionated man that would give his opinion, stand his ground on what he believed, and didn't worry about the fallout. But after his passing, you can see by the outpouring of support from both sides of the political aisle, he was so well respected. And it is a sad day for all of America. Coming up in a moment, we get you caught up on all of the biggest news stories of the day. We call it Did You Hear This? That's right around the corner.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, we do it every day at this time to catch you up on the big news stories of the day, and there have been a lot. Did you hear this?
Did you hear this? Broomhead's reaction to the hottest news stories.
The nation's first African-American Secretary of State, General Colin Powell, died of COVID-related complications at the age of 84, despite being fully vaccinated. Harvard Medical School professor Dr. John Brownstein says he's worried Powell's death will erode confidence in vaccines.
Just about 7,000 deaths occurred in the 187 million vaccinated people in the U.S., 6,000 of those that are individuals 65 and above, and usually with underlying conditions.
Now, what impact do you think Powell's death will have on the vaccine debate, Mike?
I don't think that it should at all. First of all, he was 84 years of age. He was suffering from a condition called multiple myeloma, a blood cancer that drastically reduces your immune system. So I hate the fact that COVID is even connected to this death, because nothing should take away from Colin Powell's service to this country. Of course, it's going to be a part of the narrative. Of course, it's going to be a part of the conversation. I just hope it doesn't take it over. I think that Colin Powell should be remembered for his service to the country, for the barriers that he broke, for the things that he had overcome, and the way he served his country. And as far as the vaccine goes, if people are going to debate it, I think those out there saying, do not forget the multiple myeloma diagnosis and what he was suffering from, because that plays a big role in your immune deficiency, which of course we know that those are the patients that die at the highest rate because of COVID. And I think that's the part of that we should remember in that discussion, but it should be such a minor part of the life of Colin Powell.
All right, the global supply chain shortage is being felt everywhere, including at the grocery store. Items like chicken, coffee, diapers, ice cream, and frozen meals are in short or no supply in some cases. President Biden's commerce secretary says the supply chain issues could be solved by Christmas, but Michael Podu, the president of the International Longshore and Warehouse Union Local 63, says that's wishful thinking.
The best estimates that I've heard, this could be something that will be well into next Christmas, to be honest with you.
All right, Mike, so what item or items are you most concerned about not being available when you go to the store?
Common sense. I think that's whatever it is you're looking for. We hoarded toilet paper when COVID started. That's what we did. We were worried about a virus that was taking over the country, and we bought all the paper goods. So that shows you how our knee-jerk reaction. But in all seriousness, I'm concerned about a couple of things. It's not just the consumers that won't be able to find the Christmas gifts they want and things of that nature. I'm concerned about the retailers that aren't going to be able to sell their goods and recover during holiday season when they normally do. Whether it's affecting the automobile industry because of the chip shortage or the gaming industry or whatever else it is, whatever it is you're looking for as an end user, yes, it is an inconvenience and in some cases a nuisance. But for the suppliers that can't get what they want on the shelves for you to buy, that's a big concern. To watch those ships out at sea so that you can't get those products, that's a big concern. So this needs to be solved sooner rather than later. You are listening to Did You Hear This? We do it every day at this time to get you caught up on the biggest news stories of the day. What's up, Jeremy?
Well, have you heard what the world's largest online retailer is offering to pay new employees?
Amazon is offering an up to $3,000 sign-on bonus for seasonal workers who are willing to join the team working in warehouses fulfilling holiday orders, and certain shifts will get a $3 per hour bump on top of the $18 per hour pay.
But other retailers like Target and Macy's are also on a big holiday hiring blitz. But can they keep up with Amazon? $3,000 bonuses?
I don't know. And that's the power of the free market. I will say this, that one of the silver linings of what we're seeing right now is that they are begging for employees. I've said this before. It's a seller's market. If you have a skill, I came from the trades. When construction is booming, it's a seller's market, which means when you're selling your skills, you can demand a higher price. And that's what we're seeing here. Workers making more money. So good for Amazon. I'm sure they're doing it out of necessity, but giving out more money to your working class employees, it goes a lot further for those employees, and I'm happy for them. So I hope we can keep this economy going this way so that we have employment for people that want jobs and people that are looking to change careers have a better opportunity, because there's a lot more out there. Opportunity is what we should be offering.
Well, the Arizona Cardinals have been quite opportunistic this season, now 6-0 after demolishing the Browns in Cleveland yesterday, despite playing without their head coach and several players due to COVID. Quarterback Kyler Murray had another big game.
I think we were excited. You know, like I said, the odds kind of seemed stacked against us. I mean, it's pretty much for us, it was just opportunity to come out here and prove ourselves.
He needed a big season and has so far delivered, but what Cardinals player has impressed you the most this season?
I got to say Kyler Murray. I think Kyler Murray, not just because of the numbers he's putting up. He's always shown himself capable of running the ball and throwing the ball. But I think his leadership, you know, with the absence of Larry Fitzgerald, I think it forced him to step up and be a leader in that locker room. When you see some of those big legendary names, and we will remember Larry Fitzgerald, he will be, I think, in my opinion, the greatest Cardinal in history when he finally retires and goes up in that Ring of Honor and eventually the Hall of Fame. But I think Kyler Murray, for his leadership and stepping up, and I would say this, Chandler Jones is having a great year, but the addition on the other side of the football of J.J. Watt, veteran in the locker room, that's always been a guy that works his butt off, is a great team player and wants everybody around him to be better, that kind of leadership on the other side of the football has made everybody on that side of the football better. But I have to give the nod right now to Kyler Murray. He's the one that's impressed me most. And it's nice to be talking about the Cardinals this way. I bought season tickets. I bought into a contract for season tickets a few years ago, and it's four seasons that I have the tickets for. First season, we didn't fare so well, but it was fun to watch Kyler Murray come out and play. I gave him back last year because of COVID, so now I've got 3 years left in this contract. This year, I didn't know what to expect, and I got to tell you, it is so much fun to watch this team play football. And begging would be stupid. I'm disappointed in the Cardinal fans. To see 50-50, almost 50-50 in both games with the first game of the season at home against the Vikings and then a division rivalry against the 49ers, well, I imagine it's going to be a sea of red because Houston's not playing very well and they don't travel very well. Sorry, Jeremy.
That's what I was going to say. As a Texans fan, I don't even think I'm going to be at the game on Sunday.
I don't think they're going to travel that well. But the week after that, it's Thursday night football. It is the only game on that night, and we are playing against the Green Bay Packers at home. And if that is a Green Bay Packers crowd, you'll know it because there was some similarity in the uniforms between or the jerseys in the crowd with Cardinal fans and with 49er fans. But those green jerseys are going to stick out like a sore thumb. And if there's an overwhelming number of them, it will be pointed out on Thursday night football. And as good as this team is playing right now, they deserve the support of the Valley. So I hope Cardinal fans turn out. Coming up in a moment, we expand a little bit on those supply chain issues. You heard a little bit about that, and did you hear this? More coming up in just a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, the Suns opener, the home opener is coming up. If you want to win tickets to go see the Phoenix Suns, your Phoenix Suns at their home opener, just text the word SUNS to 411-923. Get a chance to win. That's SUNS to 411-923. Let's talk about this supply chain issue. This is going to be bad. The retail industry took a hit. They took a big hit during COVID. There were a lot of retailers that did not survive, major retailers that did not survive COVID-19. Well, now, as we come out of COVID, more people are shopping, more people are making money, more people are looking for goods and services. There has been this supply chain issue. A lot of it connected directly to China because a lot of goods are made in China. And when you look at the chip industry, that's a worldwide problem as well. It's affecting automobiles and video games and so many components and things we buy. I mentioned earlier, last October, I purchased a jacuzzi for my house, and I didn't get it until I think March or April. And it was because of the shortage of components to build them. This was not a labor force issue. This was a component issue. Well, now you're talking about goods and services in the largest port in the entire world, which is in China, was down for a few weeks because of COVID-19. Now you've got ships at sea in the Pacific and the Atlantic on both of our coasts that are trying to get into port to unload. And it's impossible for that to happen. You've got some people that are saying, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Well, I want you to hear a member of the union. This is a union boss that helps unload those ships saying, not so fast.
The best estimates that I've heard, this could be something that will be well into next Christmas, to be honest with you.
So that's over a year from now before this problem is solved. Now, one of the solutions we've seen on the East Coast with the Atlantic side of things is the port of Miami. Governor DeSantis in Florida said, we're going to open up this port. Let's get some of these ships there. Let's, you know, maybe you can do it into the Gulf of Mexico. I know it's a longer trip for some of the ships, and I don't know. There's got to be those ports have got to be able to handle ships like that as well, whether you're going on to the East Coast of Texas or New Orleans or whatever. Is there a way to take some of the pressure off by redirecting some of these ships and then opening shipping lanes in another way? What's it going to do here in the Valley? We also understand that it's also shipping goods out, not just getting goods shipped in. Everybody keeps saying, and I agree with this principle, by the way, if you buy American, you don't have to worry about those ships at sea. I agree with that. I think this is a great time to buy American manufactured goods. So how do we do that? This supply chain issue, because a lot of the things aren't manufactured here. We can, and this is, I believe it or not, this is not a knock on this administration. This is talking as an American. If we truly want to understand how much we depend on some of the nations that fight and don't like us, hate us, want to make war with us, or just competitively want to beat us into submission economically. When you look at, was it antibiotics and the other things we get from China, where we don't make these goods here in large numbers. That's a national security issue, because when there's an interruption, whether it's done through bad policy or it's an interruption due to unforeseen circumstances, whatever it is, what do we do? We know that there was a storm on the eastern seaboard that shut down fuel distribution, so people in the south didn't have gasoline for a while. That's a wake-up call to what do we do to have other sources in case bad things happen. You find a way to fix that. What do we do as Americans when you look at some of the major things that American retailers rely on? We are relying on these companies. We're relying on these components so that we can put together, whether it's vehicles or video games or whatever it is. Is there a way that we can manufacture them in North America? Do we look to Mexico? And Mexico, you know, with the new agreement, the USMCA that was put together, do we look at manufacturing in North America and say, here's a way to offset some of that and shift some of this burden so that when you have one source like the Chinese who deliver goods very inexpensively, which is what people are looking for, then maybe we need to look at another avenue so that when something like this happens, the offset happens. And I'm sure there's brighter minds than mine that are already looking at that. But are there people out there looking at this as an opportunity? My opinion, and I think it's backed up with what we're seeing, this administration moved much too slowly in making sure this didn't happen. This is the difference between a business mind and a government mind. And again, it's not an insult, it's an observation. Whatever your thoughts about Donald Trump, the person, Donald Trump was a business guy that understood business and understood logistics, which I'll tell you he deserves credit for, the distribution of the COVID vaccine, because logistics were handled by the military. You need to move a lot of equipment and a lot of people very quickly, and you want to get it done today. It's done by the military. Employing that logistics attitude was very helpful. But having someone that foresees business issues is an important thing to have. Having a governor here in Arizona that understands business was one of the reasons why we were able to expedite our growth. We were able to manage growth in a way that diversified businesses here in Arizona. So this is not a slap at Joe Biden, but having someone that can anticipate problems in the business world and address them earlier matters. With COVID-19, everything was in a 2-week span. So when we saw things happening, people said, if you react a week too late, you're going to be a month into this thing before you see any difference because of how fast it perpetuates. We saw in New York, with the lessons that the rest of the country learned from the mistakes New York made it easier for other states to prepare that when you see this happening, this is the next thing that happens. New York learned it the hard way because it hit New York, New Jersey first, and the rest of the country kind of caught up after. Anticipation and acting ahead of a crisis is what avoids a major crisis. Businesses do it all the time. This administration hasn't done it with the border, and this administration hasn't done it with this supply chain issue. They came late to the party, and now they're talking, and the blame game is going to happen. That's politics. But they're blaming, they're not even blaming, they're saying it's a good thing. Hey, the fact that prices are going up and demand is up, that's a good thing. Not if you can't meet the demand. I'll give you one example before we finish with this topic. We know that Christmas comes every year. The holidays come every year in December. Imagine a manufacturer of video games or televisions, any kind of electronics, that doesn't anticipate the purchasing that's going to happen on Cyber Monday or Black Friday. So they don't manufacture enough TVs. They don't manufacture enough of their video games. And so they're not on the shelves. And you find out that you could have sold 500,000, 1 million more units if you had had them manufactured and on the shelf. Someone's getting fired because they knew that this holiday was coming. They saw this coming. They should have been prepared. Well, that's what our government is supposed to be in a crisis. FEMA is supposed to see a hurricane coming and logistically put people in place so that right after the hurricane passes, they can go into action as quickly as possible for relief and recovery. Well, this government didn't anticipate the what we saw at the border. This administration has not anticipated any of what we're seeing when it comes to this supply chain issue, and we're paying a big price as a country. You can blame it on all the other things you want to. There should have been better anticipation by this administration. There shouldn't be any doubt about that. Any. We just had Gordon James on with us, who knew Colin Powell, worked with him as a part when Gordon was a part of the Bush administration, both Bush 41 and 43, and going all the way back to the Reagan administration. Want to reflect a little bit more on the life of Colin Powell and the fallout of what's happening because of his death. All that's coming up next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. If you haven't subscribed to the Mike Broomhead Show podcast, you can do it. It's very simple to download. It doesn't matter what device you have. And then you can always listen to the show. Never miss a minute of the show again. It's called the Mike Broomhead Show podcast. Brought to you this week by Retirement Planners of America. Colin Powell passed away. General Colin Powell, Secretary of State, first African-American Secretary of State in our nation's history. He died of complications due to COVID, but he also was suffering from something called multiple myeloma, which dramatically decreases your immune system, which is why Colin Powell passed away. The reason why I'm mentioning it is, of course, the argument, the conversation is going to be about COVID-19 at some level because of what's happened. I will tell you that the bigger conversation for COVID-19 would have to be what happened to the Arizona Cardinals. Nobody died, but it was a team that boasts about being fully vaccinated. And the head coach, the quarterback's coach, at least two, maybe three players that we know of were all put into the COVID protocol. We heard that Cliff Kingsbury tested positive. He's the head coach. Now, I don't know about the others, but I would say that when you've got a team of people that are fully vaccinated, and out of that group, you have a percentage of people that still get COVID-19. Let's see how long they're out. That, to me, is a bigger issue. If they come back quickly, because I think the earliest that Coach Kingsbury can come back is Tuesday, you have to have two negative tests 24 hours apart in order to rejoin the team or to be, you know, COVID-free. How quickly does that happen with him, with Chandler Jones and the others? That's a COVID conversation. The conversation about Colin Powell has been about service. And what I will say about the death of Colin Powell is this. Growing up as an 80s kid like I did, his work with the Reagan administration, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the Cold War, the fact that he's a Vietnam veteran, that he went through the ROTC program to get to where he was, eventually heading up the Joint Chiefs of Staff, becoming the Secretary of State. What's interesting about this is it was viewed by some that he was abandoning his roots, or I don't want to go the word traitor, because that, again, tied to somebody in the military has a much deeper meaning. But when he aided President Obama, after he had worked for Reagan and worked for both of the Bush presidencies, he was seen as somebody that was a traitor to his party in many cases. And I will tell you that what I respected about Colin Powell was he wanted what was best for America. That when you truly are a servant to your nation, you don't have to agree with somebody to try to help them. You know, from my point of view, I know that there are those that refuse to go to the White House because of whoever was in office at the time, Donald Trump especially, where athletes were refused an invitation because of winning world championships to go to the White House. And I always thought, you're not punishing that president, you're punishing yourself. That's our house. That is the people's house. And what we know, that's what they call the House of Representatives. But the American people, that's our house, where we elect somebody to be in there, to live in that home for 4 or 8 years. But it belongs to us. I don't agree with anything this administration is doing so far. I think it has been an abysmal failure of policy. If, for whatever miracle reason there would be, I received an invitation to go to the White House, I would go. Nothing would stop me. I would tell my bosses I'm going, wouldn't ask. I would tell them I'm going, and I would go. I've never been in the White House. Of all of the political honors that I've had, of all of the things I've been able to see and do that I never imagined would be possible in my life, that I've been able to do. I've been to a State of the Union address. I've never set foot inside the White House. So it's always struck me as funny that because you disagree with the politics of the person that resides there, you're not going to visit. Colin Powell wasn't that kind of a person. He served Reagan. He served both of the Bush administrations. But he also worked with the former President Obama, with President Obama. I think what that shows is character, in that if my nation needs me, I will serve it. How many people could say that that's their legacy? If my nation needs me, I will serve it. And I think that that's the way I'll remember Colin Powell, as someone that did his best to serve the country when I agreed with him and when I didn't agree with him. And if that's your legacy, who could ask for a better one? 84 years old, Colin Powell has passed away, and it is a loss to America, and I would venture to say a loss to the world. We are just about out of time. If you're a social media user, I hope you'll follow me on Twitter, at BroomheadKTAR. That's my personal Twitter account. If you get a reply there, it's from me. That's me speaking. And Mike Broomhead, all one word, on Instagram. I'll be back tomorrow morning beginning about 8 a.m. I hope you can join me then. Until tomorrow, God bless.